This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Try a Little Kindness.
My message this morning is entitled, Try a Little Kindness. Hey, what do you say? Try a little kindness this morning? In the book, and you've probably seen two movies of it, in the book Les Miserables by Victor Hugo, it tells of Jean Valjean, whose only crime was a theft of a loaf of bread to feed his sister's starving children. After serving 19 years in prison, he was released. Unable to find work because he had been a convict, he came to the home of a good old priest who had kindly given him supper and a bed for the night. Yielding to temptation, however, Jean stole the bishop's silver plates and slipped out. But he was soon caught and returned. The kind bishop said to the police, "Why, I gave those things to him. And Jean, you forgot to take the silver candlesticks." Jean was astounded at such kindness, and this brought about his salvation. A little deed of kindness can turn a sinner toward Jesus Christ. Stephen Grellet was a French-born Quaker who died in New Jersey in 1855. He would be unknown to the world except for these few lines that he penned. Quote, "I shall pass through this world but once. Any good that I can do or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now and not defer it. Don't put it off. For I shall not pass this way again." Paul summed up our lesson this morning this way in Ephesians 4:32. He said, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." If you look in the dictionary for the word kindness, it's defined this way: having a friendly nature, generous, hospitable, warm-hearted, good, charitable, helpful, showing sympathy or understanding, humane, patient, tolerant, courteous, thoughtful, merciful. Now, this word kindness is a little word, but it sure has got a big heart. And that's what I want to encourage us this morning. You can often tell something about people by the way they treat people in the service industry. Have you ever noticed that? How the waiter will come to the table and people will barely even notice them. How somebody will be sweeping and somebody won't even pay any attention to them. Just kind of bypass them as if they never existed or as if they don't exist. Just as if these people are there for us to use in whatever way we want to. Do you remember that young girl in Chick-fil-A? When an advertising executive pulled up to the takeout place, the order taker on the outside, pulled up to the drive-thru, and he started berating this young girl at Chick-fil-A, just so mean-spirited, just degrading her. And she just stood there, and she took it so gracefully and so mercifully, and she exemplified Jesus Christ. He, if I might use a theological term, he was a jerk. But she was graceful. Some people never even make eye contact with the sweeper, the table clearer, the little people, as they love to call them. The elites call those the little people. These are the good, hardworking folks that go into making America as great as America could be. God doesn't see people that way. One of the reasons Jonah refused to go to Nineveh and preach repentance to the people of Nineveh is because he knew that God in his nature was kind. And he didn't want to go to Nineveh and preach to those people because he was afraid that something good might come out of that. Listen to the words of Jonah chapter 3 and verse 2 as Jonah talks to the Lord. And he prayed to the Lord and he said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this what I said when I was in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. I tried to get away from this mission you were going to send me on, because I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. I knew what you were going to do. I'm really ticked off that you wouldn't send me there to preach hellfire and brimstone to those people in such a way that in the final analysis, all 120,000 of them would have been burned to a crisp by you. But I knew you. I knew what you were going to do. I knew at the slightest hint of repentance on their part, your grace, your mercy, your kindness, and your love was going to take over. And I resented that. How many people are there like that? It sounds bizarre. But think of how, to use the word in a way that is really kind of underuse of the word, think of how kindless and how cruel are people in the Middle East who, because you're a Christian, or because you don't agree with their particular version of Islam, behead you. What's that all about? And what's it about when people in Nigeria go and steal and kidnap 300 young girls, one of whom is our dear Blessing Abano, and steal them from their school and kidnap them and sell them into slavery and other things? On a personal level, where's the kindness in racism? Where's the kindness in injustice and gossip and mean-spiritedness, manipulation of people? Where is the kindness in greed and corruption? Where would our country be if there was no corruption in higher office? Where would New Jersey be? There are those who maintain we don't need God to do good. And that's true to a point. There are many people doing good around the world. But think about how we do good. In our human nature, we're very selective of how we do good. We do good to the people who are like us. We do good to people who do good to us. We do good to the people we like. We would never do good to the people who aren't like us, or don't like us, or people we don't agree with, people whom we consider, quote-unquote, our enemy. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 5, 43 and 44. He says, you've heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Look at those words, love, bless, do good, pray. For the people you don't like, who do you dirty, the people who don't like you, the people who are different from you, can you do that? Can I do that? We talk about the secularists say you don't need God to do good. Well, yes, you do. Because what God wants to do in your life is do good irrespective of the people who are in your life, good, bad, or otherwise. Without God, we're incapable. Without God, we are incapable of that kind of love and that kind of kindness. Zechariah 4:6 says this, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You need something more inside you than your own goodness and your own kindness. You need the nature of God inside of you, coming out of you, to be able to do this. God holds us to a higher standard of behavior than we hold ourselves to. His standards for our behavior push the envelope of our tolerance for others. His standards for our behavior establish growing edges for us to reach for with his help. He sets a higher bar for us in part because his standards for us are good for us. Now, wait a minute. Pastor, you're saying that if I'm kind, if I'm working towards the kind of kindness God would have for me, that it's good for me? I thought it would be just good for my enemies. You mean it's good for me? Proverbs 11:17 says this, the merciful man does good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubles his own flesh. In other words, you reap what you sow. Hatred sown reaps what? Hatred. You'll never truly find love until you truly love somebody else, until you learn to love. You reap what you sow. In God's economy, kindness is not just reserved for human beings. It's reserved for all of his creation. Remember, God pushes the envelope. We think it's only be kind to people, only be kind to the people we love, only be kind to the people who love us, who are kind to us, only return to what them to them what they give us. But here's a group that can't give much back to you. God says in Proverbs 10, a righteous man regards the life of his beast. God's word encourages harmony between the believer and creation. Someone has written these words, the man of kindness to his beast is kind, but brutal actions show a brutal mind. Remember, he who made thee made the brute, who gave thee speech and reason, formed him mute. He can't complain, but God's all-seeing eye beholds thy cruelty and hears his cry. What does it say about somebody who is cruel to animals? I'm an animal lover. What does it say to somebody who will throw rocks at a cat or a dog? What does it say to somebody who will inhumanely beat an animal? God has a high standard for us in how we treat living things around us, and then God has a high standard for us in how we speak to others. Proverbs 12:18 says this, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is help. Harsh, unkind words have destroyed families, churches, friendships, and marriages. Think about it. It's happened in your life. People have said things to you or done things to you that have been so hurtful, you never want to see them again. You never want to hear from them again. Sisters against sisters, brothers against brothers, mothers against children, children against their parents. Friends for a lifetime, no longer friends. It happens every day in families all over this country and all over the world. It's part of living. Words can harm or heal. They can build up or they can tear down. What you do with your words is up to you. But just think how great it would be to be an encourager and a cheerleader for the people in your life. It is so easy to tear down, and it's so much easier to tear down than to build up. If you are in the construction business, it's so much easier to destruct things than to construct things. Go through with a bulldozer and knock the building down in an hour, but try to rebuild that building. How long does it take? How long does it take for an oak tree to grow? We get out there with a chainsaw, and in 20 minutes, it's down. It takes a long time to build relationships. It takes a long time to build encouragement to people. Proverbs 12:25 says this, heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. A person who's down and out, you have a choice. You can kick them while they're down, or you can help say something and do something that will lift them to their feet. It's your choice. When people are hurting and people are heavy, they need other people to come into their lives and encourage them and pray with them and give them a hug and give them a soft word. Bring a smile. Tell them a joke. The truth is that as Christians, it's our obligation to show kindness in what we say and what we do. Listen to 2 Peter 1, verse 3, and then verses 5 to 8. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness. 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting? God's got his own math. God's got his own arithmetic. He's in the adding business. And he's adding things to our faith. Our faith is not stagnant. Our faith is dynamic. We're supposed to be growing. Healthy things grow. We're supposed to be adding to our faith. The day you came to Jesus Christ and claimed as your Lord and Savior, it didn't stop there. It didn't end there. You know, for a lot of people, that's it. They get baptized and you never see them again in church. They figure they did their thing. It's just the beginning. When you come to know Christ as your Savior, that's just the beginning. Now God wants to do a work in your life, a continuing process of growing and adding things to your faith. In your faith, God wants to add something called virtue. That's the first thing we read in that text. What is that? That's how we live our lives of praise to God. As a child of God, you share His kind nature. Christians mature in their spiritual walk through knowing the Bible, where they learn how to be wise and understanding. Wisdom is how you apply the promises of principles that you find in the Bible to your life. And understanding is how you come to recognize who God is. You see all aspects, like for some people, God is love. Well, God's more than love. God is holy. God is sovereign. God is good. God is merciful. God is a God of judgment, a God of wrath. He has many, many facets to who He is. You want to learn all of those and have a better understanding of God and who He is. With spiritual maturity, we practice the virtues of truth, justice, love, patience, holiness, goodness, grace, joy, peace, faith, and kindness. We're working towards those things in our life. Those are the things that we want to see materialize in our life. And as we grow in our practical spiritual knowledge, temperance is added to the mix. That's self-control. It's self-control and moderation. So many people say what's ever on their mind. Now with Facebook, forget about it. Twitter, forget about it. People can say things that's on their mind to somebody else long distance and it gets there in 22 seconds or faster. It's a scary thing. What is the sum of all the addition that God wants for us? He brings us to a place of maturity. Peter writes that it all adds up to a love for people which is genuine and visible by our kindness. In 2015, the world is hungry for kindness. The world is hungry for an encouraging word. The world is hungry for a hug from somebody. I told you the story on many occasions, and it's been repeated to me on so many different times, that the first time I ever learned that my ministry, part of my ministry at Hagedorn Psychiatric Hospital, was hugging the patients, was after I'd only been there a few weeks, and I'm up with one of my groups on the second floor of the east wing of the building, and in walks this lady as the service had already begun, and I paused and I said, "May I give you a hug?" And I gave her a hug. And when the service was over, she raised her hand. She said, "Pastor, before we go, I just want to tell you something. Nobody's hugged me for 12 years. That was the first hug I got in 12 years. How many people in this room haven't had a hug today? Hugging is kindness. The world needs kindness. And we should be the repository of that love and that kind of thing. 1 Corinthians 13:4, the great love chapter. It says, kindness is love in action. We can say we love people, but then, you know, we need to demonstrate it. So I jotted a little list down of some of the things we can do that kind of demonstrate our kindness. You can add to this list. You can make your own list. But how about something like that? A kindness list, things I'd like to try to do in the course of my day. How about paying the toll for somebody on the road behind you? Have you ever done that? It's pretty amazing, the reaction they get. What about mowing the neighbor's lawn? Now, if you don't have a lawn. You live in an apartment, then why? Clean their doorknob. Mark Smith was telling me that, you know, he has a place out in western Pennsylvania, and his neighbors just voluntarily offered to just do his grass. Otherwise, he's got to go out there once every 5 or 6 weeks to mow the grass, so the person is doing it. That's an act of kindness, and Mark really appreciated it. He wanted to give her some money. She wouldn't take it. How about adopting a stray animal? Some of the greatest joy we've had is the adoption of some of our cat. My cat, Patches, you ever been up to my house? I have a little piebald cat, Patches. She's a joy of for me in so many different ways. She's adopted. Timmy had a school teacher, and she wanted to get rid of a beautiful white cat named Luna. We adopted Luna. She gives us a lot of fun. She's the greatest hunter out there on the fields, and she's a beautiful white cat. So you can adopt a stray animal. You can learn your server's name and refer to them by name as they serve you. One of the things I love to do when I go into a restaurant, they all wear tags. Just look at the tag and say, "Hi." Or if they don't have a tag, say, "What's your name?" And then refer to them throughout the time that they're serving you. Make them feel like they're a real person, not just a conveyance of your menu. And what about going someplace where somebody is serving you and thanking them for the job they did? There's a lovely lady in ShopRite named Karen. Maybe some of you know her. She's the one that's always wiping down the bricks and wiping down the windows and doing all this other stuff. I try to make it a habit every time I see Karen and I see her plugging away over there. I say, Karen, thank you for your good work. You're doing a great job. And she just puts a smile on her face. What's it worth it to put a smile on somebody's face today? How about putting your shopping cart back? Bob, don't do that. But I wrote it down anyway. It's going to be a goal. I always think I'm doing the nicest thing by pushing the shopping cart out in the front so that in case somebody comes, they don't have to walk so far. But I don't know if that really counts. And then how about writing a thank you card to somebody for something that they've done, just kind of out of hand? And then what about treating somebody to coffee at McDonald's or Dunkin' Donuts? Somebody told me yesterday, Sherry, told the wonderful story of how she pulled up to pay for her coffee and whatever. And what happened? Put a smile on somebody's face today. Kindness will do that. Get out of your own negatives. Get out of your own pain. Get out of your own self-concerns. And can be concerned about somebody else today. Do something kind for somebody else today. I've got a few questions for you to think about, okay? And these are very searching questions. Is anybody happier because you passed their way? Have you brought joy to people's lives? Did you help a single person? Now, this is not single-like as opposed to married. Did you help anybody today? Will you think about helping somebody today? You did. You did. You did, yeah. There you go. That's a kind deed. If it wasn't for that, they wouldn't be here. Is someone's heart rejoicing over what you did or said? Did you encourage somebody? Have you ever been on the phone with somebody who was hurting and prayed with them and tried to encourage them? It's, you know, when people are hurting, your words don't mean much a lot of times, but the fact that you were willing to pray and the fact that you were willing to listen goes a long way. It's another way to spell kindness. Did you give courage to somebody whose hopes were fading? A lot of hopeless people in the world. A lot of hopeless situations, a lot of discouraging moments, a lot of things that hurt. Final question, did you leave a trail of kindness or a scar of discontent? That's not the final question. The one before that was your day lived well or poorly spent, and did you smile or make someone smile? How did you spend your day? And the last question is, did you leave a trail of kindness or a scar of discontent? What'd you do? What was the taste that you left in people's mouths? I have a closing story, and I'm going to do something I usually don't do. I'm going to leave you with a little music. Not on my part. Make sure I'm all set up. Okay. It's a closing story about Beethoven. Listen, maybe you didn't know this before. Maybe you did. Beethoven's song Moonlight Sonata is a masterpiece interpretation and sound of the unspeakable glory of a moonlit night. This beautiful piece of music was created because the composer wanted to give something of himself and his talent to a blind girl. This lady could not see the beauties of moonlight and a moonlit night. Blind was she to the silver sheen on trees and shrub and grass. Blind was she to the silver covering on the lake. Blind was she to the world of milky white in the sky. So the thoughtful and selfless Beethoven put his genius to work. He would tell her not merely in words, but in sound, of the beauty her eyes could not behold. As a result, the world has been enriched. He gave the best of his talent in a selfless act of kindness. God bless you. Let's close with our closing hymn.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.
Don't forget, summer hours start Sunday, June 28th.
Sunday school, 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 9:45 a.m. Summer hours will continue through Labor Day weekend.
Regular hours will resume Sunday, September 13th